Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th Canto, Chapter 6, the Yadu Dynasty retires to Prabhas. Payustaya tava vibhu vanamalayam. Sansparsidini Bhagavati Pratipatnavachri. Yasu pranitam amuyarhanam adadano. Bhuyat sadam griha subhasaya dumakitu. Ayustaya, worn out, tava, your, vivo, almighty Lord, vanamalaya, by the flower garland, iyam, she, sanspardini, feeling competitive, Bhagavati, the female counterpart of the personality of Godhead. Pratipatniva, just like an envious co-wife. Sri Lakshmi Devi, the goddess of fortune. Yaha, with Supreme Lord, yourself. Supranitam, so that it may be properly executed. Amuya, by this, arhanam, the offering, adadam, accepting, na, our, puya, may they be. Sada, always. Angri, the lotus feet. Asubha asaya, of our impure desires. Dumaketu, the fire of destruction. Translation. O Almighty Lord, you are so kind to your servants that you have accepted the withered flower garlands that we have placed on your chest. Since the goddess of fortune makes her abode in your transcendental chest, she will undoubtedly become agitated like a jealous co-wife upon seeing our offering also dwelling there. Yet you are so merciful that you neglect your eternal consort Lakshmi and accept our offering as most excellent worship. O merciful Lord, may your lotus feet always act as a blazing fire to consume the inauspicious desire within our hearts. Purport. In Bhagavad Gita 9.26 it is said, Patram pusvam phalam tuyam yome bhakti priyatsiti tadaham bhakti uparitam asnami prayatatmana. Lord Krishna gratefully and happily accepts even the most meager offering from his loving devotee. Lord Krishna is conquered by the love of his pure devotees, just as a father is easily conquered by the most insignificant gift offered by his loving child. Unless a transcendentalist completely gives up the impersonal conception of life, he can make such a loving offering, he cannot make such an offering to the Lord. The process of meditation upon the super soul within the heart, called Jnana Yoga, is not as pleasing to Krishna as Bhakti Yoga or devotional service, because in Jnana meditation, the yogi is trying to satisfy himself and not the Lord by attaining mystic powers. Similarly, in order to acquire material benefits from the Lord, ordinary people worship God in temples, churches, and mosques, but one who desires actual spiritual perfection must be enlightened to always chant and hear the glories of the Lord. Such devotional enthusiasm is motivated by love of Godhead and is devoid of any selfish expectation. The Lord is so kind that he neglects his own eternal consort Lakshmi and gives preference to his humble devotee, just as a man will neglect the loving embrace of his wife when his affectionate child approaches him with a gift. Srila Jiva Goswami has pointed out that any garland worn by the Lord cannot be faded because all the Lord's personal paraphernalia is completely transcendental and spiritually opulent. Similarly, there's no possibility that mundane jealousy and could appear in the character of the goddess of fortune, who is as transcendental as Lord Krishna himself. Therefore, the statements of the demigods are to be understood as humorous words inspired by intense love of Godhead. The demigods enjoy the protection of Lakshmi and ultimately of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, and due to their confidence in their loving relationship with the Lord and his consort, they feel free to speak in a joking way. Om Jnanati Marandasya Ginandana Salakya Chakshuram Militam Yenatasmai Sikurave Nama Sri Chaitanya Mano Vistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasani Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. It just needs to be fixed. In worshipping the Supreme Lord, a devotee becomes very satisfied because so much mercy is being exchanged. And the more we are taking up that service, we know the more mercy we are getting. We know there is reciprocation. Still too low. And thus we become very inspired by receiving that mercy. And it's like I was thinking about Nityananda's appearance today, and we had a nice festival, and it was like the mercy of Lord Nityananda was raining down, and I'm still sort of a little influenced by that festival, by Lord Nityananda's mercy. And it rains down because we are trying to enthusiastically worship Lord Nityananda, and then he begins to reciprocate. So that's worship. So the demigods were worshipping the Supreme Lord with flower garlands, and they felt the reciprocation. It wasn't just, okay, we're doing this puja. No, they felt the reciprocation, and therefore they became very enlivened. And they said, since the goddess of fortune makes her abode on your transcendental chest, she will undoubtedly become agitated like a jealous co-wife. Well, I think we can see in here that the demigods became so surcharged with happiness in their worship of the Supreme Lord that actually they became transcendental to material happiness. And thus they were not even concerned with the benedictions of the goddess of fortune or anything like that, which in their normal consciousness they would have been. They were mixed devotees. They wanted also a little material benefit. But in the ecstasy of their service, they rose above that desire for blessings of their material life. And that's very true about spiritual life, because we also experience these moments of reciprocation, where somehow or other, due to the circumstances, we become enthusiastic in serving Krishna, worshipping Krishna, and then mercy comes. And at moments like that, we are completely transcendental. We can just, the whole material world is insignificant. Later, of course, we come down on the ground and face our other selves, But it is stated that as one is engaging in devotional service gradually becomes thicker. Sandrananda Visheshatma it becomes more and more dense. In the beginning it's interspersed, these moments of inspiration, yes, and then long time down to the desert of sense gratification or the desert of sense control, so to say, where the sun of lust is burning, and then back to a moment of ecstasy that is raining down upon us in some really nice exchange, and again in the desert of sense control with the hot sun of mercy burning on our head, hot sun of lust burning on our head, what am I saying? So like this, our service is interspersed, yeah? Every once in a while, yes, it's ecstasy and it's wonderful and so inspiring, and then back to the austerity. But gradually the gaps between the moments of inspiration become less and less, and sandrananda viseshatma, devotional service, becomes more and more dense. This is the result of devotional service. Thus, one must just try to fill every moment with devotional service. It says the devotees who are in advanced stages of devotional service, avyakta kalatvam, they cannot let a moment go by without serving Krishna. Every moment they do something in relation to Krishna, constantly. Hearing, chanting, serving, something, but always preoccupied with Krishna. And gradually, it happens like that. Krishna just takes over our life, little by little. More and more Krishna comes into our life, and gradually we lose taste. Gradually, all material things that we used to have attachment to, they disappear, little by little. Even if it's something material that we used to like so much, if Krishna is not part of it, then it's just not going to do it. That's how it is. So already now we have that taste that if Krishna is not part of the equation, well, then it's just not satisfying. Not really satisfying. Can you imagine? It's going to be a fabulous pizza, but it hasn't been offered. So, got all the ingredients on it, everything. You know, thick cheese and lots of other things. But it hasn't been offered. It's okay, I'll give it a miss. It doesn't inspire the heart. It is the Krishna element in our life that makes everything meaningful. Because that adds that dimension of mercy. It's when it's offered to Krishna, then it doesn't just taste wonderful, but it's also filled with mercy. And that makes it amazing. That makes it so enlivening in devotional service, that dimension of mercy is constantly there. So this is why the demigods were so much inspired. And they were saying, then they carried on, they said, yes, you are so merciful that you neglect your eternal consort Lakshmi. So this is also there, is that somehow or other, every devotee can attract Krishna. It is in the same verse, sandrananda viseshatma, the next words are Sri Krishna Akarsani, that we can attract Krishna with our devotional service. So this is very nice, if we can attract Krishna with our service. It's wonderful that our little service is so potent that, not we, but that service itself, that Krishna can become attracted. It is very nice. There is one reference about Draupadi, and we of course know that Dusasana tried to pull off Dravanis, sari in public and so on, but that, at first, when she saw him coming and he grabbed her cloth, she too held on to her cloth with both her hands. But Dushasana had muscles like this, you know. I mean, a powerful kshatriya. And so she just realized, I mean, that's not going to work. What's the point of this? Of me trying to hold on? That's going to be useless. Thus, there's nothing I can do. The only one who can save me is Krishna. And then she threw her both her hands up in the air and looked up and said, "Hey, Govinda, right, pray to Krishna." So, in the Nectar of Devotion, it's mentioned that Krishna says, whenever I remember how Draupadi just called out, "Hey, Govinda," at that moment, he says, then my heart just becomes overwhelmed with appreciation for her. Right? So, I was thinking about this, and that was like, I thought that was quite inspiring. It was nice that Krishna is remembering his devotee. Not only that the devotee is always trying to remember Krishna, that is our sadhana. You must remember Krishna and never forget him. Yes, we try, and we forget him. And, we have incredible power to forget Krishna. We can be standing in front of the deities, Govinda, and just think about, you know, what we're going to do today and so on, right? I mean, we can, in the middle of being in front of the deities, singing the song, Brahma Samhita, everything, we forget it. We're totally not there. Right? How many times are we not there? So our capacity to forget Krishna is impressive. Anyway, but it is nice, it is very nice that Krishna is remembering his devotee. That gives us hope. And it's a fact. It is said that Krishna never forgets any service rendered by his devotee. Bhagavad Gita, Neha Bikramu Nasasti Pratyavayana Vijyate Svalpiyamapa Asya Dharmasya Dayate Mahatobayat. Krishna always appreciates and remembers whatever service we have rendered, and therefore devotional service accrues in like what they call the spiritual bank balance. Right? Whatever service you do, it goes in the spiritual bank balance and stays there forever and becomes more and more. Because Krishna appreciates our service. That's why. So I always liked this spiritual bank balance idea. But I was thinking, if it's a bank balance, then there must be interest. Right? There must be interest. And I was always looking for, like, well, what's the interest? And then one day, when I came to that pastime of Draupadi throwing up her hands in the air, and Krishna just appreciating Draupadi's surrender, it is that whenever he remembered, Krishna was appreciating Draupadi's surrender. Then I was thinking, well, Krishna doesn't forget. He's not a forgetful God, you know. Oh, geez, what am I supposed to do today? It was something. I know. It was important. And then later in the day, it's still dark on earth. And then he said, I forgot the sunrise. Oh, dear. I knew I forgot something. I knew I forgot something. That's not Krishna. I mean, that would be us if we would be in that position, you know. So, but Krishna, no, he doesn't. Krishna's not the forgetful type, if you know what I mean. So, therefore, Krishna, obviously, he always remembers the service and always appreciates. And his appreciation for his devotee is increasing and increasing and increasing. So I was thinking about that. Whenever I remember the service of Draupadi, my appreciation is increasing. I thought, wow, this is it. This is the interest. I found it. Yeah? The interest in the spiritual bank balance. And what is the percentage? What is it?
At least 30%.
No, not like that. No. It said Krishna, he remembers the service, he never forgets. He remembers it eternally and his appreciation is increasing. What does that make the percentage? Accruing interest. Is that what you're saying? Yeah. It makes it in percentage. And 100. Why only 100? Compounding is just, it's unlimited. The percentage is unlimited. There's no limit to the increase of Krishna's appreciation for the service of his devotee. It doesn't stop. It just grows and grows and grows, actually. That's basically what it was saying there in the Nectar of Devotion. Well, that sort of was nice to read, I thought. It sort of, I liked it. It inspired me. And the demigods are also appreciating now. They're appreciating how, yes, you are, although Lakshmi is your eternal consort, she is so qualified that she knows how to satisfy you eternally by wonderful service. She offers you a service in such opulence. Her opulence knows no bounds, and she offers you only with only the best. And we offered you, this garland what was it? Withered flowers. That's the best we could scrape together. And somehow or other, we know it's not that good, but anyway, we offer it to you anyway because it's the best we could get together. So this garland of withered flowers is sort of the symbol of our service, because that's our service. We scrape something together and then sort of offer it to Krishna. That's the best we can pull off, sort of. And then we hope, well, Krishna, hope you accept it. I chant it again 16 rounds. What kind of, I don't know, but anyway, kindly accept them. Krishna, I've cooked an offering for you. I know, I'm not sure if the Sabji really made it today, but anyway, I hope you accept it, Krishna, yes. I wonder if I put salt in the dal or not. Not supposed to taste. I hope it's there. I hope so. I put a little on the plate, and if you don't mind, you can make the necessary adjustments. I'm sorry about that. Kindly accept. Krishna, here I am. It's not much of a devotee, actually, to tell you the truth. They speak about Bhakta Abhas in the scripture, which translates as a dim reflection of a devotee. I guess that sort of fits the best. But here I am, and if you have a little mercy left over, if you throw it in the direction of this dog, would be very happy. Just wagging tail and waiting, Krishna, please. That's sort of our position. So the demigods are not falsely humble here. The demigods are actually realizing their limitations in their service. They realize our service has so many limitations. It's not like so wonderful. But anyway, it's amazing that you're still attracted by our service. But that is Krishna. Krishna is attracted to the service of all his devotees. But the thing is that because Krishna is transcendental, he's also not diminishing. He's also not at all diminishing his relationship with his eternal consort, Lakshmi Devi. Even if apparently he neglects Lakshmi Devi, that's actually another way of giving attention to her. Because when Krishna His withdrawing from Lakshmi Devi, it's not that he forgets Lakshmi Devi. No. He's constantly thinking also about Lakshmi Devi. Because Krishna, he can do multitasking. See, we can only think of one. So if we think of one, we forget everybody else. Right? You think like, what a wonderful kurta. Right? I really like it. Good color. Yeah, my favorite. So I'm totally, I forget everything else as soon as I think of that. That's the nature of our small minds. We can think of only one thing. Therefore, our only option is to think of Krishna. Yeah? Because as soon as we think of something else, then yeah, we forget other things. It's not, how long can you think of two things? Very difficult. Yeah? It's actually not possible. I mean, when we have to think of two things, what our mind does, it goes very quickly up and down. Huh? But you cannot think of two things at the same time. It's not possible. It's sort of like, if you think of Krishna and your money, then it's like, Krishna, my money, 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 Krishna, my money. Huh? Krishna, Krishna, is my money still there? Krishna, Krishna. Huh? Like that. Yes. That's how the mind works. We cannot focus on two things at once. But Krishna, he can have unlimited relationships simultaneously, and he does. So when Krishna withdraws from the relationship, it's not actually neglect. It's not neglect. It's not like our case, it would be neglect. But in Krishna's case, externally it looks like neglect, but Krishna, while he is not paying any attention to his devotee at all, totally ignoring this devotee, no mercy, no attention, nothing. And the devotee is just dying in separation. Meanwhile, Krishna is constantly thinking of that devotee. Completely. All the time. All the time. So Krishna is always thinking of all his devotees. That is the nature of Krishna. Thus, neglect by Krishna is not the same as neglect in this world, in mundane relationships, by people who really cannot think of everyone at the same time. The pure devotee, though, has the ability to be the well-wisher of all living beings. He can think of everyone because he sees everyone and everything in relation to Krishna. And in that way, he is the well-wisher of everyone. But still, he is not omniscient like Krishna. Like, sometimes, Srila Prabhupada forgot his disciples. It happened. In America, there was one disciple, and he was actually very big, a big man, very tall and also very broad, you know, as big as a house. I mean, not the type that you sort of overlook, you know. And then Prabhupada saw him, and he commented to one of the leading devotees from, Oh, that's a very nice person. Very nice. And then he said, it's your disciple. And Prabhupada was not embarrassed. He said, okay. What's his name? And then they said his name, you know. And Prabhupada was okay. Prabhupada didn't feel like, I forgot the name of my disciple, or worse even, I forgot my disciple. I didn't even realize that you know, he wasn't embarrassed or something. Because Prabhupada may have forgotten him, but he wasn't neglectful. Right? Yes, he couldn't remember everything and anything in this world, yes, because he's not Krishna, he's not omniscient, but he certainly remained the well-wisher of that person all along. And Prabhupada's blessings had already long been showered upon that person and continue to shower. Because Prabhupada's prayer is a standing prayer. Just like a standing order. You put in a standing order and it automatically comes. Right? It automatically is renewed. Whatever, you know, annually, automatically renewed. Yeah, standing order. So Prabhupada's blessing is a standing blessing. It's already automatically there. It's already standing. He's already prayed for us. Right? Already from beginning to end. He's already prayed that Krishna somehow or other gives us a special break at the end of his life, at the end of our life. That Krishna may please, on the strength of his service, of Prabhupada's service, give us the mercy. And that on the strength of Prabhupada's service, that Krishna please takes us back. Because on the strength of our service, will we ever go? I don't know. That is something that with time begins to dawn upon us. In the beginning, when you first come to spiritual life, you feel like, yes, you know, I'm really into it now, and I'm really gonna try and make advancement, and I'm doing it, and I'm like, you know, I'm already I'm chanting so many extra rounds, and you know, I'm like studying the scriptures now, and I'm just like distributing many books, and I'm you know, I'm leading flying kirtans, and I'm really like, I feel like I'm making advancement, yes. And but then, with time, as time moves on, and most of your life is passed, right? When most of your life is passed, and you realize, my God, I didn't make much advancement at all. And now, I mean, if I keep on going at this pace, where will I wind up with the time that I've left, you know? I mean, out of 100% advancement, God, I've hardly made one or two, right? And that's mercy. I mean, you know, lucky I made that, 1 or 2%. And if I go on at this pace, you know, where will I wind up at the end of my life? Thus one begins to realize that it's not just going to happen on the strength of my service alone. And thus one realizes, I need mercy. I need blessings. I need as many blessings as possible. Some years ago, one of Srila Prabhupada's godbrothers, Puri Maharaj, who is now, I can't remember, 93 or 94 or something like that, right, which is very old. And he was coming every year in Vrindavan for Srila Prabhupada's disappearance day. And a few years ago, well, in the past, he used to share many memories. You know, he'd tell stories, what he used to, what things they did together with Prabhupada in the past, and that was nice. We appreciated it. But as the years went by, it got older and older, and you know, all that became too difficult. So a few years ago, 2 years ago, he just said, well, they call him Swamiji. He said, Swamiji, he preached all over the world. He said, and he made all of you Vaishnavas. He said, so, since now that you are all Vaishnavas, now you please bless me. And that was his whole talk, you know. Now you please bless me. And then he said again, he said, yes, you can bless me, because you are Vaishnavas. So please bless me. It was really like, I thought it was really good. It was very nice. It was sort of, and I was thinking about it afterwards, and I was thinking, yeah, and when you're that old, you know, you start to think, yes, I need all the blessings I can get, you know, on the strength of my own service. It may not be enough. I need all the blessings I can get. Let's just start early. Let's get all the blessings we can get, because the blessings of the Vaishnavas really are going to carry us a lot further than anything else. And if that, with that, we have a chance. Thus, the blessings of Srila Prabhupada. Yes, yes. I don't know why, but somehow or other, Melbourne seems to get some special attention, right? In Prabhupada's, in what we have about Srila Prabhupada. Right? There's a lot about Melbourne. There was this filmer, right, who just here followed Prabhupada around and filmed everything. There's so much footage on Melbourne. I don't know what Prabhupada did, and there's some special mercy. This huge room of Prabhupada, you know, so many things. You don't have that everywhere. There is some special mercy manifest here. Yeah, you really don't find that everywhere. Some
many temples, you know. I mean, Prabhupada's never been, and even in temples where he has been, they don't have something like that up there. I mean, Vrindavan, okay, but, you know, outside of the dhams, you don't find it so often. So in the manor, all right, but that's a huge temple. But so this was, is something. There is something here. And Prabhupada came here, and Prabhupada, well, when I came to Melbourne, somehow or other, I just blindly put a video in my computer, because I was tired, to watch a little bit Prabhupada, and it was Prabhupada in Melbourne all the way. Everything was Melbourne, 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 and I just reached Melbourne, so I thought, well, okay, maybe I'm supposed to watch this, you know, must be, yeah. So I decided, okay, I'll watch the whole thing. Yeah. And plant, but I watched the whole thing. And then it was nice because there was this speaking engagement which was arranged in this monastery with Catholic monks, and it was a Franciscan order. And Prabhupada was asked to speak there, and he did. And then in a question and answer session, there was at one point a monk who asked Prabhupada what he thought about Saint Francis. And well, Prabhupada wasn't so familiar with Saint Francis at the time. So he said, well, what are his teachings? What is his philosophy? Which is, was his usual tactic if he wasn't so familiar with some. So then they explained, you know, Saint Francis, you know, Brother Bird, Sister Moon, and all that kind of stuff, that he had this very, that he saw God everywhere, in everything, and everything related with God. And Prabhupada, his eyes became big. You know, he would do that sometimes. His eyes became big, and he said, oh, that's a real devotee. He says, that is real God consciousness. That is wonderful. He said, that is wonderful. And all the monks, they were melting on the spot, you know. And of course, in the film you didn't really see that, but fortunately, now with these videos, they have commentaries of comments of devotees who were there at the time. And these comments, yeah, they add an element. So Charu was commenting. He was there, and he was saying that. He said, just all the monks were melting on the spot when they heard that. And just like after that, you know, just like they were amazed because they saw that Prabhupada, when he expressed his appreciation, he did it like with so much dedication, even maybe even more than they had themselves. So it was sort of like, and from that, then they appreciate, wow, he's a real saint, you know. And so they were really impressed. So as I was watching this video, I was appreciating how just having that video, it opened up a whole dimension. You know, just they say a picture is worth a thousand words, right? And it was, you know, I mean, it really took me in a little more. But then one person who was there, right, and who personally added his comments, that added again a whole different dimension. So all these blessings there, you know, so many blessings. The blessings of the movie maker and whoever was the blessed person who arranged him to do that. They said he was... Kurma said he was just wheeling that camera around. He had like a whole thing on wheels, a professional thing, and they were filming Prabhupada all the time, even in the botanical gardens, everywhere. And he said that, and so that's a blessing. That's, we got blessed in that way. And then devotees who remember and bless us in that way. So if there was anybody there, they can also bless us and give us their perspective. So in this way, we're looking for such blessings. It's the blessings that are going to carry us, not, you know, our own strength in how we chant our rounds, right? Because it doesn't work so much. It's not so easy. No. It's tough to chant 16 rounds. When I was here in the 80s in Melbourne, I was it was Gyanasamudra, who the Rock, and that was his name, who took me out on Sankirtan, you know, like sort of showing me the ropes here, the Australian ropes. And then I got in the van, and he says in the morning, "How many rounds did you chant?"
Right.
"How many rounds did you chant?" I go like 15. He said, "You'll never be a Sankirtan devotee." He said, "A Sankirtan devotee, you know, he chants all his rounds before he goes out." Right? And I think he's right, you know. I'll probably never be a Sankirtan devotee. I guess you hit the nail on the head, Gyana, what can I say? Yeah? It's like, and today, with shame, I gotta admit, I haven't chanted the 16 rounds yet. What to do? So, yes, I'll never be a Sankirtan devotee. And it's all depending, so I realize more and more, I depend on blessings. I depend on blessings. And I'm beginning to look for these blessings more nowadays. I'm beginning to look at where they are and see if I can get some, you know. So if you have any, then, you know. You never know. Devotees have all kinds of things. If you have a little piece of Prabhupada's cloth or something, give it to me. And or something, whatever, you know, some blessings. I'm always looking for some mercy. If you have any, please, you know, please. I need. Thank you very much. Any questions, any comments?
And they put on a nice vegetarian piece of that St. Francis and St. Francis. And I was there at the time that Dan was famous, passed away, says
I think I saw that also on the video, and it was what's he called again? Who was in Adelaide? No, President Adelaide for a while. No, after recently. Daisara. Daisara cooked a feast. Yeah, he was the cook. He cooked a feast. And yeah, so it was really extraordinary feast. Daisara remembered the feast and all the preps, and he in full color gave an explanation of the feast.
Why do we chant 16 rounds?
Because Srila Prabhupada did so much for us. He did so much for us. And that's his request, you know. Prabhupada knew very well that Lord Chaitanya had said that I will only take prasadam in the house of a person who is a Lakpati, Chaitanya Bhagavat. Right? In the Chaitanya Bhagavat it says, who is a Lakpati, so who has at least 100,000, which in those days was a lot of money. So everyone was shocked, you know. But then Mahaprabhu explained it. A lakpati means one who chants a lack of names. 64 rounds. So Srila Prabhupada knew that statement was there of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in other words, it said, my mercy will be there when you chant 64 rounds. Prabhupada knew it. So he tried. He tried. And then this wasn't possible. Okay, brought it down. 32, 25, 16. No less. So what he did is he extended Mahaprabhu's mercy. He just stretched it. He just extended it. He just extended it. So he took that mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and just said, okay. Anyway, Mahaprabhu, 64 is not possible. 16, that's they can manage, and somehow or other, you know, that's it. And now you'll have to give the full mercy. And then Mahaprabhu said, what could he do? Huh? What could he do? And Prabhupada just forced him like that. Okay, what can I do? All right, and I have to lower the price, and I'll give it at 16. Yeah. So, 16 rounds. 16 rounds is the Back to Godhead program. Mm-hmm. If you chant less, then you also get mercy. Yeah. Sometimes there are people who take initiation somewhere else. Good. Also Vaishnavas. And they say, oh yeah, we only have to chant 4 rounds. It's okay, good for you. Oh yeah. But I don't think they get the same deal. You know what I mean? They pay less, but I think they also get less. I don't think they get the, you know, for that price, I don't think they get the Back to Godhead in one life program. No. That they don't get. They get the Connect with Lord Chaitanya's Mercy program, which is very wonderful. But Prabhupada actually took the 64 round Back to Godhead in one life program and brought the price down to 16 rounds. Back to Godhead in one life program. You don't get any cheaper than that. You know, that's why we chant 16 rounds and no less. Yes.
Maharaj, when you were telling about the devotional service become thicker and thicker.
Thicker and thicker.
Like rubbery, you know.
Or rubbery, and then it becomes burfi. Nice. Yes, it does. Then? Question? Or just comment? Huh? Yes, it becomes thicker and thicker. So it becomes richer and sweeter and, you know, something that you cannot resist anymore. See? Yeah. Milk is nice. Milk is nice. But when milk has little sugar, it's nicer. When milk is boiled down and becomes rubbery, it's still more ecstatic. When you boil it further and it becomes burfi or something like that, you know, like pure nectar. Yeah. It's like, who can resist? Who can resist? One of the first services that I ever did in the Hare Krishna temple was I was made in charge of the Mangalartic sweets. God, what a service. I had to keep them for the lunch program, for the guests. It was tough. Now, I was well trained because I had a younger brother who would, you know, whenever we would get, like for example, for Easter, we would get a chocolate egg, and he would never eat his. I would eat mine immediately, and he would not eat his, and just wait until it would just spoil. So I would hollow it out, you know. So I did the same in the Mongolian. I'd hollow out little pieces on the bottom, and you didn't see it. And then I'd cut it on four sides, you know, very nicely, a little smaller, like this, you know. I got my quota. It was a good service. Yeah, Sandrananda Visheshatma. So the devotional service becomes thicker and thicker and thicker. And then also at one point, it is also a fact. See, in the beginning, a little bit of devotional service is enough to keep us going. In the beginning, 16 rounds, okay, you know, it's enough to keep you going. But at one point, it just won't do anymore. So it's a meager 16 rounds, you know. Just stop that 16. A miserly 16 rounds. Krishna, here it is. 16 and not one mantra more. right? Yes, that's the deal, right? You know, I'm not obliged to give you anything more, all right? So you cannot ask for one extra mantra. Mum is the word, you know. I've done my 16 rounds. No, why not? Stick in a few extra. Why not? Why not? Come on. He likes it. He likes it, Krishna. Why not? So chant a little for him, for his pleasure. So Sri Rupa Maharaj used to write all these japa reform things, and they were very nice. And in one of these statements he said, I only start chanting my rounds after I've completed the 16. Which I always remembered, you know, as a good meditation. Because are we chanting our 16 rounds or are we counting our 16 rounds? Six more to go. Five for the road. One left. Sorry, again. I'll never be a sannyasin. Yes. Yeah, it's true. I also sometimes think like that. Especially when it's late night and you have a few left, you know. The late night japa club, you know. We used to meet every night. And the question was, how many? If someone said four, it was sort of okay. If someone said six, then it was like, boo, boo. If someone would go 12, you go, yes. And then, well, you know, you chant, and then, yeah, when someone had his four done and you had six, well, then they disappear, you know, and then you still have to chant four more rounds, two more rounds on your own. Sometimes I found myself sleeping somewhere on a piece of furniture. No, it's not easy. It's and then even if you get the quantity, then the quality, you know. I've seen devotees, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. No, wait, it's not over. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. Hare Hare. I was impressed. 20 seconds sleep, and then they just carry on and finish the mantra. Absolutely, not bad. Well, it's not easy to chant. It's tough. But fortunately, you know, there's a lot of mercy for trying, and that's hope against hope. So there's hope against hope. There's mercy for trying. Yeah, and that's. You know, that's why we're still doing it. That's why we don't give up, even if we struggle. There's mercy for trying. That mercy can be extraordinary. If one really tries very hard, even if it doesn't work, they may even take you back to Godhead for less than 16 rounds. They may. If you really try. If you're really trying. Finished. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.